makes sense.
Great morning, humans. Great morning, world. This is your boy, Dr. J.C. Dornick, and welcome to another edition of the Make Sense podcast with Dr. J.C. Dornick. Today, we're going to actually make sense of something that is just always topic of discussion in our minds and in our lives, and that is adversity. Specifically in the realm of handling adversity with grace and how we can become that version of ourselves that is impeccable to our word and follows through with our commitments no matter what. So the intention of this episode is to arm and equip you with a shift in perspective about your relationship with adversity. What's interesting about adversity is if you look at all the work that you're doing to overcome adversity, this is always so fascinating to me. I see so many amazing talks and podcasts and books about handling adversity as if it's adversity that is the problem. So when I say a shift in perspective, I'm encouraging you to just kind of step back as we do on the Make Sense podcast and just ask yourself, what is your relationship with adversity? What is adversity? Because I believe that's the first step. If you want to learn how to handle adversity, we have to first define it and identify what it is and how did you come up with this conclusion that adversity was a challenge? You know, because we already know before I even get into this that many people will share with you, and I'll share some examples of that, that adversity is not a bad thing. So here we are saying, how do I handle adversity? It's like, how can we create a different relationship with adversity and maybe use it to our advantage? That's our intention of the episode, is a shift in your perspective of your relationship with adversity, which is how you're going to learn how to handle it with grace. So when I say adversity, first of all, I'm referring to your adversity, not necessarily mine or the definition that we've been programmed to look at. I want to talk to you about what you think about adversity. So this is a healthy place to begin in this discussion because it uncovers the first step to handling adversity, like to recognize that adversity is both defined and in an existence due to your own observation of it. This is such a fascinating aspect of interfacing with life. The question is does something exist in the absence of your observation of it? And then we back up to previous episodes. Last week we talked about the program, and we know that our sense-making machine and our perception-making machine is very often faulty. So here we are saying, things don't really exist in the absence of our observation and perception of them, which we know has a high degree of fault to it. That's why I want to talk to you about your relationship with adversity and how it's defined and only in existence to your observation of it. We can cut that. So think that one through for a second. Would adversity even exist in the absence of taking note of it? I mean, an event is just an event until you label it as adversity. Yes? I mean, think about some time that somebody shares with you. In our family, I'll give you a perfect example. In our family, we refrain. We made a conscious decision to not watch the news. I know that pisses a lot of you off. It's just something that doesn't in any way, shape, or form support our goals and our dreams. Very often, whether people know that we don't watch the news or people just like to share good news or bad news, very often people will share that adversity with me. Did you hear what happened? Now, I didn't know what happened until I knew. And what's interesting about that whole scenario is when people do find adversity, they like to share it and distribute it amongst their friends. Isn't that a fascinating thing? So it's like we have to really, really choose who we hang out with and what we consume. We talk a lot about this on the show. If you're hanging around with the wrong people, one of the downsides of that is they're going to distribute and share bad news with you. For some reason, maybe it elevates them and their identity and their intelligence. It could be a natural selection and just trying to increase their stake in the world by saying, I know this, but you don't know about it until they share. So protect the door to your mind. So why is all this important? Well, what if our sense-making machine is faulty or glitched? I mean, can you step back and say that your brain and all of the brain awareness perception stuff that we're talking about in your virtual reality suit is running perfectly? Do you have great judgment and do you have the ability to look at everything and process it, receive it, process it, and respond to it with perfection? I'm highly doubtful due to your programming, right? We recognize that now. That's why that last episode was so so important. This is a sequence of building states of consciousness so you can get ready for further discussions. So remember that virtual reality suit that we talked about in your sense-making machine. You're going to hear me talk all the time about that stuff because it's just about becoming aware of it. That's what you're using to label these events, to perceive these events. Its responsibility is perceiving and processing everything. Is it safe to acknowledge that that adversity only exists due to your perception and labeling of it? That's how we begin this conversation. If you're with me right now, you should be looking at that and at least giving it a, that's interesting. Now, if you do look at something like that, like whenever on this podcast we bring something to your awareness, you might revert back into this place where you're just like, I don't want to deal with that. That's when we start to pull things out of our big bag of bullshit. Oh, not the right time. This is exhausting. I deserve a break. I work so hard. Whatever it is, you might be falling back into your regularly scheduled program. Totally normal. I'm just encouraging you right now on this topic to just give it a You can come back to it at another time. I'm telling you right now, this is where your breakthrough is acknowledging that you might not know what the fuck you're talking about. See, handling adversity is not just learning how to cope with it and move through it or past it. Those can be valuable skills. You can learn a lot of those skills. So many great books I've read about pushing through hard times and the obstacle is the way and all of those things. It's about understanding where adversity comes from and what it represents for you rather than to you. So that's an interesting shift right there. You'll hear a lot about that to you versus for you. Is adversity something that's happening outside in to you, or are you ready to open up your mind and say, why is adversity happening and how is it happening for me? You will always be fighting an endless war until you can make that shift. The very idea of having an observation and a perception that adversity is holding you back. I love this concept of people saying to me, I just got to get out of my own way. And then I'll just say, what's in your way? And then they'll tell me about their obstacles, their challenges, and their adversity. Is it in your way or is it the way? That's the shift in perspective. So let's learn what adversity is, where it comes from, and how it both harms us and helps us. First, one of the things that I do in my morning routine, and this is something we'll share here very, very often, one of the main concepts of my Rise Up Great Morning routine is I control what I consume. Every single morning, I've done it today. I'm recording this podcast on a Sunday. I still got up early. I ran my structure, and I'm in the right mindset to be here with you today. I control what I consume, and I very often watch YouTube videos, read books, listen to podcasts and such. So I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. That's a phenomenal entity right there, the Joe Rogan podcast. If you're a Joe Rogan fan, I get it. I don't listen to all the episodes. I listen to the ones where he has fascinating interviews. But if you're a Joe Rogan fan, do yourself a favor if you don't know the story of how he came on the scene. You'll have a lot more respect for him. He's an amazing guy and I love what he does. That would be a really, really cool thing one day. Dreaming big to have Joe Rogan on my show. I'd like to interview Joe Rogan about his story and how that all came about. Because remember, people like that, they're just human beings that just somehow stepped in the arena of play on the dance floor just like you could and shifted everything. So anyway, I'm watching this awesome interview that Joe Rogan did. I don't know if you saw it. I'll put the interview in the notes for this episode. And he's interviewing this guy, David Sinclair. He's a 53-year-old guy, which ironically is 1 year older than the dragon. He's a Harvard biologist, smart dude, who claims to possess a biological age that is a decade younger than he should be. That would make him 43 rather than 53. So his biological age. And he says that it's a result of practicing a plant-based intermittent fasting regimen. Now, I'm so fascinated with any form of altering my nutrition and practicing voluntary discomfort. There's so many benefits in this. And this interview brought something to light that's very relevant for this conversation. So this guy is a very, very smart dude who's very, very big on saying that he's 10 years younger than the normal person as a result of a plant-based diet and intermittent fasting. We're going to have a whole episode on fasting. So although I'm fascinated with the concept of fasting, I heard him make mention of an observation that motivated me to create this episode. I love to talk about adversity, but when I heard what he said, the idea of making sense of adversity became really, really attractive to have this episode. And I thought it would be very, very useful in getting you ready for the rest of the year of the Makes Sense podcast. Joe Rogan asked him how he justifies, because what he says is he eats one meal a day. This is what David Sinclair says he does. So he doesn't eat multiple meals. He eats one meal a day consisting of 2,000 calories with all the macronutrients and everything. So he's very, very key on nutrients. And then he fasts the rest of the 24 hours. Joe Rogan poses a question. He goes, I can understand the 2,000 calories and I can understand fasting. He says, but why not take those 2,000 calories and separate them into multiple meals? Like, let's say it was going to be a 500 calorie meal and you had four of those rather than, did I do my math right? Yeah, four of those, 500 calories each, and then equate to the 2,000 calories, but spread it out along the day. And there's some science to that, regulating blood sugar and creating some long-term eating habits. So Sinclair had this response, and this is what motivated this podcast episode. He says, think about it. Going back 6 million years, first of all, that's pretty crazy to think about. Go back 6 million. Here you are thinking that everything in your current reality is like so important and so crucial. 6 million years. So like, I don't even know how to calculate that in my brain or process that. But he says, if you go back 6 million years, our bodies were actually designed and evolved to respond to adversity. Why is this important? We're looking at shifting our perspective and creating a different relationship with adversity. So it's one thing if you go read a great book, like one of my favorite books is The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. Love to have him on our show sometime because I just love his viewpoint on stoicism, which I'm a big fan. But it's one thing to say the obstacle is the way and shift into this perspective and say adversity, trauma, setbacks, letdowns, obstacles are a sign that we're on our way. You hear me talk a lot about that. It's another thing to embrace the fact that the human body, the brain, our sense-making machines, even though they're kind of fucked up from our programmers, they were actually engineered and created to respond to adversity. As a matter of fact, adversity is actually a prompt and a catalyst for optimal function of the body. So we actually need, this is the point, we need adversity to be able to move forward. So we've removed it. This is what Sinclair says. He goes, the problem is, remember, we're talking about a guy that's intermittent fasting and only eating one meal a day, and he's been asked, why doesn't he spread it around? So what he's basically saying is, he says, think about it. We've removed adversity from our lives. I mean, this episode probably attracted you in because I said handling adversity with grace. A lot of people are saying, how do I get rid of problems? How do I overcome problems? He's saying that's a problem, that we've removed it from our lives so that we can feel better. But we actually need adversity in order to be resilient and fight disease. That's how this came. We should be actually looking to put ourselves in uncomfortable, high resistance situations. That's why Sinclair only eats once a day. I coach people and I primarily teach people to fuel their bodies every 2.5 to 3 hours. In my opinion, according to the data, that's the way that you create a long-term habit. But once somebody becomes health conscious, this is just a side note, I think it's fun and it's a great idea to practice some voluntary discomfort to build discipline. So I very often do water fasts. I've done a 7-day water fast. So I'm all for that. And it's not so much about health as much as discipline and voluntary discomfort. And now I've put some color to it. So isn't that fascinating? To embrace adversity as something we are not only designed to handle, but something that we actually require to thrive to be our best. Does that help you with your relationship with adversity? Or does that at least put you in a position where you go, there might be something to that? Yes. So this means that without adversity, we are at a disadvantage. So that's a shift right there. That's the to you, for you shift. Maybe it's not a good idea to have a structure that looks to avoid adversity. And maybe we need to go even a step further about building ourselves up to be able to handle adversity, and maybe we need to embrace adversity, not only as the way, but as potential fuel to ignite us to move into an accelerated place in our life. So I believe the challenge that we face with adversity is in how we've been programmed to look at it and define it and identify it. If you're struggling with adversity, it's not your fault. And there's hope. So I'm going to share with you now the Webster Dictionary and how it defines adversity. The only reason I'm fascinated when I do my research, because I'm open and curious to learning all different aspects of anything, including something I might learn about adversity after this episode. That's a big thing. I like to look at the world as a scientist. I'm more interested in facts and truth. I'm going to share with you the Webster Dictionary definition of adversity because it's fascinating to read how we've been programmed to look at something like adversity. So here it is. The Webster Dictionary defines adversity as a state or instance of serious or continued difficulty or misfortune showing courage in the face of adversity. That's the concept of facing adversity. It's overcoming, but acknowledging serious or continued difficulty or misfortune. So of course we think that adversity is a problem. That's how we've been taught. So, you know, my two boys are in college. My daughter's in high school right now, moving into high school. That's what she's going to learn about adversity. Do you see why it's so important to have conversations with kids? One of my dreams is this concept called Make Sense Kids that I'm very, very passionate about. So we have TED Talks and we have all this great personal growth stuff going on. The problem with personal growth is very much like Alcoholics Anonymous. It's made for people that are fucked up. I like the idea of having events like TED Talk like events, but for kids, so we can teach them these awesome skills of like the interface response system or how to cope with life and how to change your perspective in life before they're fucked up. Anyway, I digress. You can see why you might think that adversity is a problem. So this is where the struggle with adversity begins. It's the very definition that paints it as a difficult misfortune. So in our society, we take our kids and we lock them in a box called the classroom, handing their education and learning over to institutions, teachers, textbooks generated by who? Mother, father, teacher, preacher. And think about that for a second. We're handing them over to people that have come up with their own concept. Are their sense-making machines and delivery system faulty? Of course, just like yours. We just assume that this is the right thing to do, or I would say we hope that it's the right thing to do. Why do we accept that? In this space right now, you might be frustrated and saying like, fuck, you know, why is he bringing this up? I drop my kids off. I got enough going on. I just have to trust the system. How many systems are you trusting? Remember, we're trying to control what we consume. But why do we accept this? Because we as parents, I'm a parent, I've got three kids, and I've got a do-over with another little one right now. We have our own lives and responsibilities. Remember, we only have a certain amount of time in our life. We're just trying to like get the most out of life, make the most money, create the most freedom, have the most fun. So we have our own lives and responsibilities to provide for our family being one of them. A roof over their heads, beds to sleep in, have a little fun hopefully here and there, and pay for these schools and all of that stuff. At varying degrees of acceptance with this system, we're forced to trust that system and just simply hope that it sets our kids up for success and does little harm. That's what we're hoping. I'm not just going to wing it there. I'm going to have conversations with my kids, and I'm very, very passionate about creating something like this for kids. I guess I got to stop swearing if I want them to listen to my podcast. But meanwhile, their vulnerable and susceptible brains, you know, we've spoken about this in the programming episode about the underdeveloped brains of our children. They're continuing to develop and being hardwired with all these lessons about science, mathematics, history, language, and how to perceive and survive in life, and what things like adversity mean. Now, I'm probably going a little further than I need to with that, but I know that you're stimulated by the idea, but I want to drive it home because this is where it all sets up. So if you're having trouble handling adversity, I just want you to realize why. When it comes to adversity, they learn to avoid it because it's perceived as a misfortune and a difficulty. And if they have a teacher that goes the extra mile, maybe they'll even learn how to persevere and grow through it. Like, that would be awesome if our children learned. You know, that's why I think it's so important for children to play sports, to learn how to overcome adversity. Now, to a certain degree, the concept of decoding the game, that's a chapter from my book, and we're going to talk about that here. Video games do teach children about overcoming adversity and creating a different relationship. And there's an interesting theory behind that. I think children are being trained to live in this future world where it's all going to be technology. We refrain from doing too much investigation into all of this stuff that we're talking about right here because we don't have enough time, nor do we have the energy because we all have too much on our plates. That's probably the most difficult form of adversity is how do we get all this done? And we're all kind of running from what I think the biggest form of adversity or symptom of adversity, and that's overwhelm. So we trust the system. It's just kind of like how we make shit up in life. We trust the system, pull our cars up, drop the kids off for the day, pick them up, hoping all went well. Can you see why so many are turning to homeschooling these days? We've homeschooled some of our kids. Call it a healthy decision or not, can understand why people do that. So leave your opinion out of what others are doing, but you can see why they're doing it. It's the only way that you could actually maintain control of what your children are consuming and what they're exposed to. So it makes sense to why so many are choosing that model right now. Nobody can tell me that you are 100% safe and secure to drop your kids off at any school. I don't care how much money you spend. My daughter goes to an amazing school, very, very safe and protected in Greenwich, but I do not sit in on those classes. I don't have the time to audit those classes and watch recordings. So my personal strategy at this time is to have my children attend school. Both my kids are in mainstream colleges. My daughter's going into high school, and make a point to sit and discuss what they've learned and encourage them to dispute and challenge everything before they allow it to be something that's hardwired into their operating system and their sense-making machines. So my kids are aware of how the brain gets programmed. So I just teach them how to dispute things. When I pick my daughter up, say, what are the highlights of the day? What did you learn? And she typically says, nothing. But then we get into a conversation and we learn some things, and I'll ask her questions like, what do you think about that? So yes, parents, this means that at the end of your long day, we can't just pick them up, help them with their homework, and feed them. We must ask them questions and teach them to do the same, dispute and question things and come up with their own rational and logical decision. Hey, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor.
The Make Sense podcast is sponsored by the Make Sense Academy, co-created by both myself, Mika, aka The Chicken, and The Dragon. The Make Sense Academy is a live interactive community where like-minded, solution-focused, curious seekers of expansion gather daily in a mastermind setting with both Chicken and Dragon, where they have access to premium content, online courses, and powerful collaboration and networking, all for $24 a month. The Make Sense Academy and its members are solely responsible for funding the Make Sense podcast. So feel free to reach out to us at www.riseupwithdragon.com and check out the Make Sense Academy, risk-free, with a money-back guarantee. Now, back to the Make Sense podcast.
Why is this stuff important to recognize? That's what we're doing, right? We're creating a different relationship and we're recognizing it. We're talking about the idea of handling adversity with grace here. How can we begin to do that without understanding what we've been taught and how we've been hardwired to understand things like adversity? What we're talking about is this program awareness perception thing, right? This awareness of how we've been programmed. That's the first step. I can totally see why I have a challenge with adversity. And by the way, if you're listening to this podcast right now and you think it's too complicated, well, that would be the resistance created by adversity that has this magical ability to tell you to just, hey, you know, fuck it, just go with the flow, right? So if you're experiencing that right now, I totally get it. It's about simply becoming aware of our programming, how it was formed, and how it impacts our sense-making machine. In this particular case, how it impacts our perception and response to adversity. Remember, we don't control stuff happening, and to a small degree, we can control how we perceive things. That's why I'm teaching everybody the interface response system, but we do control our response. And your response could be to just say, and wait a second and think about something first. It reminds me of the vaccine controversy. When I was younger, on break from chiropractic school, this is a fascinating observation. I have my own opinions about things, but I don't share them on this podcast. But I did go to chiropractic school, and it was all about natural, holistic, non-surgical, non-medical health. So I was fascinated with it. But I thought it would be cool to just kind of observe human behavior. I thought it would be cool to show up at a popular bulk food and household supply chain, you know, those big stores, I won't mention the name, show up one day where they're offering free flu shots. Now, once again, we're talking about vaccinations and we're talking about flu shots here. No opinion on that. I'm just acknowledging that every now and then you see a line sprout up. So leaving my opinion out of this particular topic of discussion, my intention was to just study human behavior. You know why? Because maybe I was wrong about what I thought. So I'm always open and curious, but study the human behavior of those that were in the line and expose how powerful their programming was in prompting them to make decisions in their life. So I presented myself to them as a student. Now, keep in mind, this was a very different time. There was no cell phones. There was no internet. Like, that happened like around this time. So I didn't have enough money to have like a cell phone. So I just presented myself as a student that was doing his thesis on the topic of human behavior with a specific interest in how we make decisions for our families during times of adversity. So I presented this scenario. I had a recording device. I presented this scenario to create space for those that I would interview to basically be prompted to share their opinions, because people love to share their opinion. I love to ask people a question and prompt them to share their opinion, that they'll just talk forever. So with my recording device, I simply asked random people this question. Excuse me, sir, ma'am, what are you online for? After I would tell them about my study, they would say free flu shots. Now, first of all, interesting. I always thought it was interesting how there was a free flu shot. I guess that's the government's way of saying that they care. I then asked them, why now? And they said, it's flu season. So my next question was, when does flu season start and begin? Most people said they weren't sure. So that was fascinating. So there was a sign that people were online because they heard something, but they didn't know about it. They're not thinking like this. Maybe some of these people, you know, either hated me or inserted a huh after that. Then I asked them, who's giving the flu shots? And then they said they weren't sure, but they assumed that it was some sort of health professional or a nurse. Then I asked, what's in a flu shot? They said they weren't sure. So disclaimer. Once again, because I get a lot of interesting feedback, you're probably making an assumption of what my opinion is on this. I just want you to know it's completely irrelevant, my opinion. So disclaimer, on this podcast, we make a concerted effort to not share our opinions on topics like, you know, our school systems, politics, religion, or something like this, vaccinations. When we interview our guests or interact with our listeners, we feel that everyone believes what they believe, and we respect and honor people for that. When I meet somebody that's radical and they're challenging some of the things that I say, I look at them with respect and I say, I understand. Even if it's completely ludicrous, as far as I'm concerned, my opinion is not relevant here. And that's taken me a lot of work to do. My intention, however, is to simply help people become more conscious human beings and recognize where you got your ideas. So if you love some of your ideas, I'm just here to let you know where you got those ideas and when you came up with your opinions about them. They were, for the most part, taught to you. And that's all I want to offer you. If you're fired up about something, just question, where did you learn it? So where do we go in this discussion from here? Your perception of adversity is merely that, a perception. And your perception-making machine has been programmed, like we've said in the episode of program, by your mother, father, teacher, preacher, society, and evolution. If your desire is to learn how to handle adversity with grace, your first step is that program awareness perception, to be aware of your programming, to understand that your current perception of adversity in this case is your best guess based on what you've learned about it. In my four-step process called the interface response system, we learn to take note of our knee-jerk programmed thoughts and feelings about what it is that we see, like adversity, and insert a spacer or a pause. I like to say, and put a pause on this idea that you know that there's a good chance that there's a flaw, maybe an insufficient perception and response to that stimulus, placing us in what I call the eye of the storm. Interesting to look at the concept of the eye of the storm. It's beautiful and perfect and calm and docile in the eye of the storm. But meanwhile, right outside of it is complete chaos. So when you say, and you step in that space, we'll go over that more. You're in the eye of the storm. And in the eye of the storm, we have this ability to look at things with a more conscious, rational, and logical mind. If you don't have the ability to challenge whether or not your programming is efficient, then you're not ready for this stuff. But then you have to question, are you really ready to learn how to handle adversity? When you step into that space and you have more conscious, rational look at things, this triggers a more effective and goal-supportive response, which might be to handle adversity and pass go and collect $200, that helps you stay on track, less distraction, and follow through with your original plans to move forward. So if you're in an oscillating pattern, trying to get from point A to point B in a rocking chair, there's a good chance that it's because you're just running the same program. So that's why you might want to consider something like this. Program awareness perception. I have created an online course called the Interface Response System that all of our members of the Make Sense Academy have access to. When my book comes out, Make Sense, and you dive deeper and deeper into it, there's a whole section teaching this Interface Response System. The book is actually going to be called Make Sense, Solving the Mystery of Why Shit Happens. I think that's funny. Interesting that I had to learn how you couldn't write the word shit, so I had to put an exclamation point instead of the I. So a big moment of clarity and distinction came from a fantastic book that I read called A Man's Search for Meaning by author Viktor Frankl. Unbelievable, just life-changing book. A miraculous story of both resistance and perseverance through the trials and tribulations of being a prisoner in the Nazi death camps under the reign of Hitler. Can't even imagine. It's one thing to like have an opinion about that, but I can't even imagine what it was like to be there. So it's a must read, yet it highlights this relevant concept for this discussion. And it is how he became, this guy, Viktor Frankl, he became not only somebody that survived the death camps and the trauma, but he became somebody that learned how to forgive those that did that harm to him. You want to talk about handling adversity with grace. In his book, his secret, and this is relevant to what I just shared with you, he speaks about the space between. That is the space between the stimulus or adverse event and your response to it. That's the secret to handling adversity with grace. That's a wonderful, wonderful way to look at everything that we just talked about. It's just the space between. If you give yourself a chance, even if it's just you trying to create a different relationship with adversity and just step into that space, you have a fighting chance. If you're not yet willing and ready to step into that space, then you got to recognize you're not ready to handle adversity with grace. So in summary, handling adversity is only difficult due to our relationship and perception of it. If you find yourself struggling with adversity and hard times, there's a very good chance that it's due to your current operating system and sense-making machine's impression an interpretation of it, not necessarily it. I don't think there's ever going to be a time that we would get rid of adversity. And as a matter of fact, if you go back to Sinclair's concept, we wouldn't want to get it rid of adversity. You know, we're very close, according to, you know, some of the smartest scientists in the world, of creating a situation where humans could live forever. Think about that. What would you do if you found out tomorrow morning that you're never going to die? That would be the removal of the primary focus of adversity. That's that mortality mentality. Would you even get out of bed? I mean, what would happen to the world if we didn't have adversity? By learning how to implement the tools in my interface response system, for example, or even from what you've learned in this podcast, and embracing things like David Sinclair's insights on how adversity is not only necessary, but the catalyst for evoking the best version of you. Forget about just needing it, evoking the best version of you. Remember, it's who you are that determines how well what you do works. The best version of you will get better results doing the stuff that you're doing right now. We can then learn to stop surviving during times of adversity and just handling it and start thriving and moving it from something happening to us to for us. Happy hunting, my friends. I hope that you are blessed with tons of adversity today and for the rest of the year and the rest of your life so that you can be your best and kick some ass. Remember, if you learned something today, please consider giving it away. As a matter of fact, that's the only way that what you learned today is going to stay. Consider sharing this podcast or checking out and sharing our Make Sense Academy community and join the uprising of the sleepwalking masses. Hope to see you in our community soon. Have a great day.
Makes sense.